his to our prosperity, our good health and happiness, and most important, to life, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim, to life. Here's to the father I try to be.
Here's to my bride-to-be.
Drink l'chaim, to life, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim, to life. Life has a way of confusing us,
blessing and bruising us.
Drink l'chaim to life. God would like us to be joyful, even when our hearts lie panting on the floor.
How much more can we be joyful when there's really something to be joyful for?
To life, l'chaim.
We are thrilled to have Harold Prince on our program this morning. He is the most honored director-producer in the history of the American theater. He has a new book out. It's called Sense of Occasion, which gives an insider's recollection of the making of such landmark musicals as West Side Story, Fiddler on the Roof, Cabaret, Company, Folly, Sweeney Todd, Evita, Phantom of the Opera, and the list goes on and on. Harold Prince is a 21-time Tony Award-winning director and producer, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Harold Prince to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
What a delight. I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed your work and how much I enjoyed this book of you telling stories. What fascinates me about this book is that you wrote a book many, many years ago, and then you looked at it and said, yeah, you know, this, I was too young to write that book.
Dead right. The editor of Harper's Magazine, a very prestigious fellow and a prestigious magazine, asked me to write a book because I'd had a measure of success at a very young age. And I said no, and then I finally said yes. The old ego gets in there. And I thought, this is crazy. But finally, I delivered the book. However, it was enough years later that Harper's did not publish excerpts, and the book was published by Dodd Mead and Company. And I thought, gee, 1974, I'm too damn young to talk about how you make a career. And so it went to print. A lot of kids read it. People were nice about it. Got a good review from Brooks Atkinson in the Times book section. But I thought it was a tad embarrassing to hold forth on a subject that I'd only been working on a decade or so. So ultimately, I wanted to set the record straight. And so we have this strange, but I hope fascinating book in which I reprint the book, the original book, republish it, and comment on how much my opinions have changed and what has happened to change them. And then we take from 1974 on to right now all the work I've done, which is probably even more than I did before 1974.
Do you have a sense of what has led, of what, when you are hired as a director or even as starting as a producer, of what other people are looking for in a Hal Prince experience?
No, I don't think about it that at all. And I also never try to figure out what is selling at a given time to audiences on Broadway. I simply satisfy my own needs. And every once in a while, of course, I say to myself, what have I not seen on Broadway that I would like to see? And that affects my judgment. In addition, I just look for odd subjects and odd venues, places that take place. You know, the very first show I ever produced was in a pajama factory in the Middle West. Very strange. And then soon thereafter, there was a street gangs fighting in New York. And more or less, that's pretty much my guiding principle all the way up to and including two musicals about jail, people in jail, odd places to put musicals, but stimulating to the authors in terms of writing material.
You talk about the Pajama Game. That was your first show, 1954, opened on Broadway at the St. James Theater on May 13th, 1954. You talk about that experience. Also, you write a lot about your mentor, George Abbott, who obviously wrote that show and produced it. I am interested.
No, I produced it. He, with my partner, he directed it.
He directed it. So I'm interested.
Right.
So I'm interested in what that relationship was like with George Abbott and how it sort of set the tone for your career going forward.
Well, I learned very quickly from he was 40 plus years older than I. I was 20, and he was in his middle to late 60s, and. But he saw what he thought was a smart kid and a very ambitious one. And when I became a stage manager, he sent me on the road to rehearse his companies. And then he would get a report back from someone saying, this guy can do what you want. He's doing well by keeping these companies up. So it was an encouraging because what I really wanted to do was direct, and that's what I ultimately did. Apropos the whole business of being offered work, I as a young man wanting to be a producer, a director, I had been a producer, and no one would hire me, really, so I hired myself. So the first show I did for Broadway was She Loves Me, and it had four spectacular performances, one from Barbara Cook, and I hired them as a producer, and then I hired me as a director, and I think for a long while they wondered whether I could do it. So they gave me sort of a hard time, and when I said move left, they said I want to move right. When I said, pick something up, they say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to sit down now, that sort of thing. But ultimately, they figured out, they discerned that I knew what I was doing because the rehearsals were going so well, as did performances for audiences. So we reached an amicable solution, and I was off and running as a director who had impressed some people. The opening night of that show, She Loves Me, I got a telegram from Bernstein saying you did a great job, and another from Richard Rodgers. You couldn't ask for better. And it was extremely encouraging, and I was off and running.
When you have that early encouragement, I assume that is very important. I would think it would be,
boy.
Especially from those names.
Sure. It's everything.
Yeah.
And George Abbott, of course, was the first to recognize that I could do it. In the show that's on Broadway now called Prince of Broadway, I say something that is absolutely true, which is that all you need is one qualified person to tell you that you can do it, because there are a thousand who will tell you that you can't.
The Manhattan Theater Club's current Broadway production, Prince of Broadway, celebrates your work, and it's your last chance to see it. It's open through Sunday.
Yeah, we've had a limited engagement of about 3 months and some weeks.
And it's been great, and I encourage people to go see it. Do you look at something like that and say, wow, it's fascinating for even you to be impressed by the breadth of your career?
Well, I don't know. As people say, you did all that. And the truth is, the reason I did all that was I love directing. I love actors. I love design and content. And I don't look back. So you don't realize how much you've done until you get to look back. Mostly, I'm looking forward to the next project.
You write about, obviously, you've had great success, and the list that I've read is just a tip of the iceberg. There's been great success. You do write about Merrily We Roll Along, and
you bet.
And it seems as though that is still, and maybe I'm projecting here, but it seems as though that's still somewhat painful for you.
Well, yeah, I blame myself a lot. I know that it was a very complex structure that show called for, perhaps too complex for a musical, but the material, Sondheim's score is brilliant, and George Firth, who wrote the book, was a terrific writer. He was sort of our Salinger, as far as I'm concerned. He wrote Company along with Steve, which I directed before this show, and honestly, I never got a handle on exactly how to fix it. And it was just too complex an assignment. So, as I say, I blame myself. I'm sure there are others to blame as well. But it's I take the blame for that one.
And but the material, you look at the material, you still think it's good material, right? I mean, it's
great material. It's just there. Essentially, it's a story told by people in their middle age, and it's told backwards in time. So you find that in their middle age, they're some of them have failed, many have succeeded but are unhappy, some are have a decadent lifestyle, whatever, drink too much, all of that. And then you follow them into their youth, and they're graduating from college, and they are all happy, innocent dreams. And there's a lot about that idea which appeals to me, but the going back in time is a very difficult structure, and I wanted to do it with kids for the first time playing older people. So at the end of the show, they were actually their own ages, and that was complex as well.
You write,
it was very complicated.
You write in the book that there was a Lonnie Price, who is a friend of our program and who we love very much, directed a documentary. The best worst thing that could have ever happened was a documentary that he did on Merrily We Rolled Along.
A wonderful, wonderful documentary.
And
by
you,
the way,
you said you didn't want to see it. It was shown at the New York Film Festival. You didn't want to see it with other people. You ended up seeing it by yourself.
Yeah, he sent it to me, and I thought it was extraordinary, really wonderful. All the interesting paradox of all that is, you're talking to the guilty party. And the kids, all who were in the show, all consider it a huge high point in their lives. One of them being Jason Alexander, who ended up on Seinfeld and opened last night for Manhattan Theater Club in a play. And he's a huge star. So, you know, he regards it as his baptism.
So let me, first of all, we're talking to Harold Prince. The book is Sense of Occasion. It's published by Applause Books. And I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this book. You have a photo early on regarding West Side Story, the original creative team, Sondheim,
right.
Lawrence, Prince, Bernstein, Robbins, Griffith. My God, what a dream team that is.
Yeah, it really was. Amazing for me to get to work with all those people at such a young age.
So what was it about what does that experience give you, and to have that much creative force behind a production?
Well, they were giants. I mean, Lawrence, Sondheim, Bernstein, and Robbins were all about as good in their fields as anyone who's ever lived working on Broadway. So it was very stimulating to watch them, to learn from them. I learned plenty. I spent an awful lot of time just watching rehearsals, and once it opened, I watched many, many performances, and every time I did, I thought, hey, there's never, ever been anything like this on Broadway. And when it became a film, I think everybody realized it was the film of the year, and everyone jumped on board and really loved that show.
When you have something like that, and it obviously becomes, I mean, just one of the biggest things on Broadway.
Sure.
What does that then, does that allow you a certain creative and artistic freedom, if nothing more, in what you choose and what you can work on next?
Well, that's a very good question. It encourages you to examine any subject for a musical. And that has informed my directing career, not my producing career so much, but my directing career most of my life. You know, we did, in 1980, I did Sweeney Todd, which is the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, which
yeah.
is actually a musical about cannibalism in the Victorian era during the Industrial Age. That's a hell of a subject for musicals to actually have advanced to. And then one was an Ingmar Bergman movie called Smiles of a Summer Night, about sexual frustration among married people. And then there was one about Eva Peron that Andrew Lloyd Webber brought me, and the rise of the Perons in Argentina. These are all strange subjects.
When you go and you look at the subjects that you have covered, and again the breadth of the work that you've been allowed to do, is I can't imagine there being, but I guess we all have these moments in our lives where we look and we say, oh, you know, there's still this thing that I would have loved to address, or there's still that thing that I would have loved to do. Do you have that, or do you feel that you've really completed
so
much?
No, I'm looking for the next thing to do.
Yeah.
That's a way of saying that. But I'm looking for a subject for a musical that I would like to do, and I have one, actually, so we're working on it. I can't talk about what it is because there are other people working, but sure, and it's a very unique subject, so not one that has been covered in musical form at this point, not so far.
There are people in the theater who have been around a long, long time who bemoan the state of theater in our country, and I don't get a sense in reading your book that you're one of them.
No, I'm not.
Oscar Hammerstein wrote
a song. Oscar Hammerstein wrote a song called "The Theater Is Dying." Way back when they did, he and Rogers did a show about the theater called Me and Juliet. And God knows they were making that comment then. It's always been dying. And just at the point when you think, oh, God, this is the death knell, up comes Hamilton and Evan Hansen and Come From Away.
Yeah.
And none of those three musicals, all of which are huge successes, has a star in it or has a famous composing team. So, you know, that would speak certainly for a healthy future for the theater.
How do you feel about, and I know we have to wrap up here, but how do you feel about revivals? Let's just take She Loves Me as an example. I mean, this is a show that you brought to Broadway. It was a great success for you. It comes back on Broadway, does very well. What do you want your participation to be in that?
Well, it isn't anything very much because another producer, another director has done it. By and large, I never see revivals of the shows I've done because I remember what informed them. And the point right now is... I did see She Loves Me because the director of it is a friend and a good one. But by and large, I don't see them.
And because if you look at a work where obviously with your work with Sondheim, where those pieces are regularly revived, do you still have an interest in them, or is once you have put your mark on them, that's good enough?
I think that would be more true. I hope that they're successful, of course, because I like the literature to live on and on and on. But I don't have a major investment in their success. I wish them well, for the very reason I just described.
Well, the name of the book is Sense of Occasion. It is endlessly entertaining, and it is out from Applause Books. And I can't tell you what a joy it is to read your stories. You've had a hell of a life, sir.
Yeah, I'm still living it, thank God.
Thank God. Well, and thank God you're still, and there's a beautiful work on Broadway right now called Prince of Broadway that celebrates the work of Hal Prince, and it is playing through this Sunday.
Monday, a week from coming Monday, we are We're doing a cast recording, so there will be a permanent record of the show.
That's great. Well, congratulations on all the wonderful work. Congratulations
on
the
notebook.
Thank you so
much. I loved your questions. I appreciated them.
Harold Prince, thank you very much. A great pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again,
Bye.
You can find more information about the men about the Broadway show Prince of Broadway by going to the Manhattan Theater Club's website. The new book is Sense of Occasion, published by Applause. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Are you okay, old friend? What do you say, old friend? Are we or are we unique? Time goes by, everything else keeps changing. You and I, we get continued next week. Most friends fade or they don't make the grade. New ones are quickly made, and in a pinch, sure they'll do. But us, old friend, what's to discuss? Old friend, here's to us, who's like us, damn few.